I want this evening to turn you back to verses 14 and 15 of the psalm that we have just been reading. It says there, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." And particularly those words there in verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." Now this is a psalm of David. It tells us that in the title there at the commencement of the psalm. It's a psalm that reminds us of that David faced the experiences of life just like everyone else. He had his ups and downs, and certainly this psalm illustrates the point of those words that we find in Job, that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and that he's only of few days and full of trouble. Because we read here in the psalm of David facing up to trouble. For example, in verse 9 it says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." So he's indicating very much to us here about the times of difficulty that he had, and they would seem to be prolonged seasons from how he expresses there those times in verse 10, for he says, "My years are spent with in sighing." So it's more than just one off now and again, something that happened just on one occasion. Here's something that David did experience on many occasions in his life. But it's not so much his troubles that I want us to think about, but it's his faith here that I want us to think about. It's his confidence in the Lord, and particularly in these words that we're looking at here in verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." Because David could indeed commit his way unto the Lord and trust in the Lord in this regard. You have those words back there in verse 5, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit." And we'll recognize those words as words that the Lord Jesus quoted as one of the sayings on the cross when he was coming right to the end and about to give up the ghost, and he committed himself unto his Father, and in doing so he quotes this psalm and he takes these words. But these words were spoken by David in the initial first instance, where he's committing himself to the Lord. He says, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit." And the reason why he's able to do that is because of this statement that we have here in verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." So he's able to commit his spirit into the Lord's hand because he knows his times are in the Lord's hands. And it's that particular truth that I want us to dwell upon for a little time as we come around the Word of God this evening. And may our hearts be indeed be encouraged with the mercies and the blessings of the Lord. Because as David comes on down this psalm, there for example in verse 19, he is rejoicing in the Lord. He might have had his times of trouble and trial and affliction and grief. All of these terms appear here in one way or another. There are times when he's sighing because of the burden that he's under. But by the time he gets down towards the end of the psalm, for example, in verse 19, he says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." So his heart is being encouraged. His spirit is indeed being lifted up. And I trust that the Lord indeed will encourage us this evening and lift up our spirits. Maybe you are a little downcast this evening, and as these circumstances continue and there's not the fellowship that we desire and have experienced in the past, and maybe you're listening and you are downcast somewhat this evening. Well, I trust that the Lord will bring you to the place even where he brought David here, where you can say, "Oh, how great is his goodness." May that be our testimony even this evening. May we rejoice in the goodness of God. And as we look at these words, "My times are in thy hand," I trust that that indeed will be the outcome. The first thing that I want you to consider here is the experience of this truth, the experience of it. Because the experience of it belongs to those who know the Lord. It's not an experience that every individual can say. Now, there is a sense in which everybody's times are in the Lord's hand, in that the Lord overrules sovereignly in all things. He has ordained the day of our birth and the day of our death for everybody in the world. But that's not what David is referring to here. David is thinking about the blessings that belong to those that know the Lord. Or as he mentions there in verse 19, those who fear the Lord. Oh, how great is the Lord's goodness which he has laid up for them that fear him. So he's thinking about those who fear the Lord, and there's evident a contrast here in this psalm between those who fear the Lord and those who don't, because in verse 17, for example, he mentions, let the wicked be ashamed, let them be silent in the grave, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. So he's not thinking here about all and sundry, that this is a comforting truth. This is a blessing for every individual to have. He's thinking these words belong to those who know the Lord. These belong to those who fear the Lord. They can say, my times are in the Lord's hands. So when we come to think about the experience of it, it's not something that every individual can claim. It only belongs to those who know the Lord. And may we indeed be among those who know the Lord, that we're not strangers to his mercy and to his grace, that we've never come to believe on his Son and know the saving of our souls. May we not be strangers to the Lord in that sense, but may we be those who know him and those who fear him too. And then we can take the comfort here that is found in these words. My times are in thy hands. Just think about that phrase here. David says, my times, everything about his life, both in this world and even in the world to come, are in the hand of the Lord. And you and I can say that as well. Everything. This word here suggests the duration of times. There's some other places in the Old Testament where it's translated as the word always, or else the word continually. So it's the thought here of the duration of times. We're not just thinking of one-off times. We're not just thinking that, well, there's an occasion and there's another occasion, maybe years later and separated by a long distance of time. David's thinking about his times generally. The passage of time, the duration of time. He's really thinking about all his days. Always is it the case that his times are in the Lord's hands. So that brings into these words then everything to do with our lives in this world and even in the world to come. It's true in this world, but also when time has stood still in a sense and time is no more and we're out into God's eternity, more than ever our times will be in the Lord's hands. But he's primarily thinking about his life here, his pilgrimage in this world. And the Christian is able to say, my times, everything about my life from the beginning to the end, every circumstance without exception, all of our times are in the Lord's hands. We can take comfort in that. We can take comfort in that. All are going out and are coming in. All are rising up and lying down. All the issues that there might be, the vast array of life circumstances, those regular circumstances that come along our way, those times when they're unusual, even in the seasons that we are found at in the present time, all of these times we can say our times are in the Lord's hands. And sickness and health, the ups and downs, and wealth and poverty, everything we can say is in the Lord's hands. It's in the plural here. He says, my times. All of these things then are within the scope of this word. But there's also here the thought about the fact that it is a personal experience. It's my times, not somebody else's times. Not just some other believer. But every individual believer can say this is true of us personally. This is true of us individually. We can take these words and say this is true of me. David is able to say my times, but every Christian can take these words as well. We can say my times are in the Lord's hands individually. After all, salvation is a personal experience. We're not saved in a crowd. We're not saved in a company. We're not just one of a number in that sense. Salvation is a very personal, individual matter. When an individual comes to know the Lord, there's that experience of the grace of God in our own hearts and souls, and we're born of the Spirit of God. That's all very personal. Well, this is personal as well. And this committing of ourselves to the Lord and being able to rejoice in this and be glad in this particular truth, we can say it's my times. It's not just David's times. David is one of those outstanding characters in the history of the people of God. The king of Judah, the king of Israel, the one who's part of the ancestry of the Lord Jesus according to the flesh, the one who's written off so much in the scriptures, the one who wrote so much of scripture, when you think of all the psalms that he penned. But it's not just a great man like David, it's every child of God. This is the portion for every individual. This belongs to all those who are the Lord's. And in that there is no hierarchy. There's no ranking here that somehow there's other individuals and their times are in the Lord's hands to a greater extent and a higher level. Every Christian is on the same level here. Every single individual can say this, my times are in the Lord's hands. And how great a thing that is. What a gracious experience this is. It's the Lord's hand that holds us. Our times are in his hand. Our times are under divine control. The Bible uses the hand of God to refer to him working. God doesn't have bodily parts or passions, as our confession of faith states, but there are times when he describes himself as having bodily parts in order to convey something to our finite mind, to help our understanding of some particular truth that we may grasp it a little bit more. So here in this place, here's one of those occasions where this indeed happens, where the Lord is taking on a physical characteristic, even though he's a spirit, yet he's taking on a physical characteristic here to illustrate to us a particular truth. And when you read about the hand of God, you think about his power, you think about his working. And this is the hand that our times are in. It's the divine hand, the all-powerful hand. It's a gracious hand. Oh, how gracious the Lord is to those who are his. That hand that is upon them, watching over them, taking care of them. Remember those times when Nehemiah, Ezra before him as well, spoke about the good hand of my God being upon me. Those men were able to trace the hand of the Lord in their lives. The providential dealings of God, the overruling dealings of God with them as individuals, as they sought to serve the Lord. They were able to trace the Lord's hand in it all. And they spoke about the Lord's good hand being upon them. Well, when we think about our times in the Lord's hand, we can say it's a good hand. It's a gracious hand. The Lord is the most gracious and merciful individual we would ever have to deal with. There's no one more merciful. There's no one more gracious. There's no one more tender. No one more loving than the Lord. Our times are not subject to chance or to fate. What a poor, hopeless existence somebody has who just thinks like that, that their times are subject to chance, to those occurrences and developments that are absent from any obvious design. What a way to live, to think that somehow that's how your life works out, that there's these events that happen, these circumstances that have come upon us, even as we are found in the present circumstances, and there's no obvious design here, there's no hand that is overruling in all of this. What a terrible way to live. What a poor hope anyone has if that's all the hope that they have. That they think that they're just subject to chance or even fate, a predetermined outcome outside of any gracious, controlling, overruling power. No, that's not the Christian's experience. We're not subject to cruel fate. Our times are not subject to fate. Our times are in the Lord's hand. And he is the one who's sovereign in all that he does, and he's gracious in all that he does. And that is indeed the experience of the people of God. And may we rejoice in that even this evening. May that be our experience from day to day, to be able to say, my times are in the Lord's hands in this way. So you have the experience here of what it is for our times to be in the Lord's hands. The second thing I want you to consider here is the basis for this truth. The basis for it. Because all that we believe must have a firm foundation. We can't base what we believe on feelings. It's not emotions that can be the foundation on the basis of what we believe. We need something better than that. We need something much more substantial than that. All that we believe, we must base it upon Holy Scripture. So what is the foundation then for the statement, "My times are in thy hands"? Well, surely when we begin to think about that thought again about the Lord's hand, does that not bring us to consider the divine hand in redemption? Does that bring us to think about the Word of God and what it says, for example, in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29? "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So here's the basis upon which a Christian can say this. Our times are in the Lord's hands because of the great truth of redemption, because of what it is to be redeemed. I started out saying a moment ago that this experience and the blessing of it only belongs to those who belong to the Lord and who fear the Lord. And here's the reason why. Because it's connected with redemption. Every blessing is connected with redemption. Christ is the one who secured all of these benefits and blessings of salvation for us in his death at the cross. Everything is traceable back to the cross, back to his atoning sacrifice for us there in that middle tree at Calvary. There's no other way to experience the blessing of God. It has to be tied into the cross. Well, here's this great truth tied into the cross. We think about that divine hand as it is in the work of redemption, and how God was working out his purpose, how he had given a people to Christ in eternity past, and that people must be saved. And it tells us there that no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. There's security here. There's safety here. And when we think about our times in the Lord's hand, whatever happens, whatever comes to pass, it's not that somehow the Christian is promised an easy life. Not at all. From this psalm, you wouldn't have to go anywhere else to learn otherwise other than the experience of David. It's evident from what David says that he didn't have an easy life. He had troubles and trials. But that didn't take away from the fact that there was a safety and a security in it all. And that's what the unsaved don't have. And if you're listening tonight and you're unsaved, you don't have any safety. You don't have any security. You don't even have any safety or security about the present, never mind the future. No, you don't have that. You can't speak with certainty. You're not able to do that because you're a stranger to grace and to God. And you can't say, "My times are in the Lord's hands, and he is the one who has redeemed me. And I belong to Christ. I'm his from all eternity past, and I'm his for all of eternity to come. And no one will ever pluck me out of the Father's hand." And if that is the case, then can we not say then, our times are in the Lord's hands? Based upon the covenant of grace and all that Christ has accomplished for us, can we not then certainly say our times are in the Lord's hands? Because that's where we are with regards to eternal security. We're in the Lord's hands. We belong to him. But there's also the thought of his providential care when we think about the divine hand too. What about those words in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26 and 27? It says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee." We're thinking here about the everlasting arms. And here's the divine providence of God carrying his people, bearing them along. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun. And that term there, the God of Jeshurun, is a reference to the God of the righteous. There's none like the God of the righteous. There's no God like our God. Because our God is the living God, the one and true living God. And he is the one who manifests that he is alive by how he works every day in our lives. And underneath are those everlasting arms. And he bears us up and he carries us along. And when you think about that providential care that God exercises toward us, is that not a basis upon which we can take these words? of David, and every Christian can say the same. My times are in the Lord's hands, because underneath and all around are the everlasting arms. Every day of our lives, we're enveloped around. There's nothing that can come upon us but what He ordains to be so. And what a truth then to be able to rejoice in the Lord. And may we indeed commit ourselves unto the Lord here, just as David does. You see, in verse 14 he says, "But I trusted in Thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my God." Oh, if we have a God like this, the God of redemption and the God of providence, can we not say then, Thou art my God? Can we not then declare, our trust is in Thee? We're not trusting in ourselves. We're not trusting in man. We're not trusting in the ideologies and the philosophies that are current in the world at any particular time. Our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Word of God. And this is David's declaration here. I have trusted in Thee, O Lord. Thou art my God. And because of that, then, he can conclude, my times are in Thy hand. And may that indeed be our experience. And even in our own lives this evening, may we commit ourselves afresh to the Lord. I've drawn to your attention already, back there in verse 5, those words, into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Well, wouldn't it be a good thing this evening just to commit ourselves afresh to the Lord? And say, Lord, here I am, all that I am and have. My times and everything, I commit them afresh to Thee. May we do that? Was that something of what Paul was thinking about in 2 Timothy? And you read of those words, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it's verse 12, that he mentions about committing something unto the Lord. He says, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul had committed his whole life to the Lord. He had committed his times into the Lord's hand. And he says it there in the context of even the things that he was suffering, the afflictions and trials that came upon him. And he says, I'm not ashamed. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. No, he's not ashamed because he's trusting in the Lord. And he says, I know whom I have believed. And then I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do we know whom we have believed tonight? Can we say that? Can we say of a truth, I know whom I have believed? Can we say that? We know the Lord, just like David is saying here in Psalm 31:14. I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. Well, is Paul not doing something very similar here where he says, I know whom I have believed? And then he says, I am persuaded. I'm persuaded the Lord is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. And surely then, we ought to commit ourselves unto the Lord. And we'll not live carelessly and recklessly, but we commit ourselves unto the Lord. And may we do that this evening, and do it with a confidence in who the Lord is and what He has done for us. There's one final thought here I want to draw to your attention, and that's the comfort that comes from this truth. Because these great truths of the gospel are always designed to comfort. The Lord is interested in comforting His people. And He would speak words of comfort to us. And certainly we can take comfort from these words. Because that's why David, having said this in verse 15, my times are in Thy hands, that's why then he's able to make some of the statements that he does hereafter. For example, in verse 16, make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant. Save me for Thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. He's making these statements because he's got a conviction about the truth that he's holding on to, and it's comforting his soul as he does so. That's why in verse 19 he can say, O how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. You can see how this truth is comforting David. As he has unveiled his soul here to some degree and shown to us something of the troubles that are within him and the sign that there is there in the depths of his being, And then he's turning to the Lord and he's making these statements that we're looking at in verse 14 and 15. And then there's the comfort that's evident there. God's truth is designed to comfort our hearts. It's designed, Christian, to comfort your heart. And may it be a comfort. All things do work together for good to them that love God. When we look at matters overall, not little things in isolation, but when we consider things overall, when we consider our times, and we started off by thinking that takes in the duration of time, that takes in all of our days. Oh, we can say all things work together for good. Doesn't mean it'll work out how we want it to work out. It'll work out how God wants it to work out, but it'll be for our good. All things work together for good. If God is controlling our times and our times are in his hand, then is there not a comfort in knowing that what he does will always be for our good? There's that verse that tells us no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will God withhold from us. That which is for our good, he will not keep back from us. If our times are in his hand and he is our God, this is what he has promised to do. Is that not comfort for us? He'll not keep back from us anything that is for our good. He'll keep back many things that will be for our harm. He's all wise. He knows what is best. And if he keeps back something from us, it's for our good because he knows it would not be for our benefit. So therefore, if this is true, there's no need for endless worry. There's no need for endless worry. There's no need for anxious care. If our times are in the Lord's hands, there is that hymn William Lloyd wrote it, "My times are in thy hand. Why should I doubt or fear? My Father's hand will never cause his child a needless tear." Well, there's no need for worry. No need for anxious care. If this is true, if we know the Lord, if our times are in his hands, then it's our duty not to worry. Sometimes we think it's the other way around. It's our duty to worry and to fret and to get all anxious about certain things. Maybe even in present circumstances, we might be anxious. Well, if our times are in the Lord's hands, Christian, there's no need to be anxious. There's no need to fret. No need to worry. There's a sovereign God who is in complete control. And we're told there in Matthew chapter 6 and those verses that come at the end of that particular chapter, beginning in verse 25, it says, "Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" And if you read on down through those verses, the Lord is teaching us about his care that he does exercise over this world. And are ye not of much greater value than any of these things? And if we come down to verse 32, it says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." The Lord knows what we have need of. If we commit our times to the Lord, if all of our lives are in his hands, he knows what we need. Your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of. And therefore, is there not a comfort in these things when we dwell upon them and think upon them tonight? But does not this all make each child of God long for glory? You see, there's a sanctifying benefit to times of difficulty, times of distress. God has his ways of making us yearn for glory. He has his ways of loosening our hold upon this world. And does it not make the child of God yearn for a better place? Yearn for better times? That will never come in this world. No, we started off quoting those words from Job. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. That will be our experience continually. That will be our experience continually in this life. There's a better place the child of God is going for. And difficulties make us yearn for home. Make us yearn for heaven. Make us yearn to be in that place where there are none of these things. All of these things are gone. They're gone. And may we indeed yearn for that better place. But as we come to a close this evening, may the Lord enable us to commit ourselves afresh to the Lord. There's one final verse of scripture that I want you to turn to, and that's 1 Peter 4, and it's verse 19. And it tells you there at the end of that chapter, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Unto a faithful Creator. May the Lord indeed help us to do that. Commit the keeping of our souls to him, even tonight. And to afresh, even before the Lord this evening, to say before the Lord, as we come before him in prayer, just in a moment or two, and spend time seeking his face wherever you are this evening, would it be one of the first things we should do is to say, "Lord, I place my times into your hands afresh. Everything about me, I do what the scripture exhorts me to do. I commit the keeping of my soul to thee and everything to do with me." May the Lord enable us to do that tonight. And may he bless his word for his name's sake.